I believe that we are built of units of energy. That's not hard to believe. We just have to distinguish and define what units of energy, what they are, and which ones we use to build ourselves, our lives, and the conditions in our lives. Everything is energy. You are energy, and so am I. Everything around us is energy. I had French toast for breakfast. French toast is energy. The bread used is energy. The butter in the frying pan is energy. The heat of the cooktop stove is energy. The eggs and milk are energy, as is the whisk and the arm that moved the whisk to beat the eggs and milk. The creation of that breakfast was actually more like an assembly of units of energy rather than a creation. If you want to get dressed and go out to dinner, you would go into your closet. You would look through your blouses and shirts and slacks and shirts and decide on the look that you wanted to create, and then you would assemble the clothing that you think will result in that look. Personally, I have a lot of shirts. Some I bought, but many were bought by my late wife, Marianne. She always had me and others in mind whenever she went out shopping. Most of her choices were very pleasing to me, but a few I didn't really care for. But I know her choices were motivated by love for me, and that carries a lot of weight. Some of the shirts I wear, some I don't wear, and some I will not wear. Now, this may sound odd, but the shirt situation is similar to my genetic makeup. Some genes will be activated, some genes won't be activated, and some genes I don't even know about. This is true for my beliefs, my talents, hopes, my dreams, my fears. A lot of that stuff is below the surface of my awareness. I have so many energy patterns that it's difficult to know all of them or to manage them all. It has amazed me over the years when I've lived in cities and I see beautiful buildings demolished instead of being renovated. It seems unlikely that the entire building is hopeless. It's a hopeless condition, so demolition is the only course of action that is viable. It doesn't appear that way to me. If someone, maybe the architect, the owners, the developers, knew the right buttons to push, the right switches to flip, the 20% of the building needing replacement could be attended to. I can see the politics and profit issues of restoring somebody else's creation versus knocking it all down and building your own version from scratch. However, it seems that a lot of these newer buildings have absolutely no character compared to the older buildings. Internally, maybe that's really the issue, is the wiring and the plumbing and all the rest of that needs to be fixed and renovated. It could have been done. So what has this got to do with you? Consider yourself to be the older building. How can you be renovated? The ultimate form of demolition from a human being's point of view is death. And if you're not ready to die, which buttons could be pushed and which switches could be flipped? So energetic renovation, and that's the first place to start, energetic renovation, can begin. Look at yourself and your life with the idea of renovation is your intention. Which areas of your life would be served by renovation? You probably noticed your mind jumping immediately to the physical and the cosmetic. Did you think of a new hairstyle, a change in body size, shape, and weight, a new wardrobe, a new car, a new home? When we look at life and conditions we have assembled, it's easy to believe that we just have to add new units of energy and everything will be all right. But sometimes that's not true. Sometimes subtraction, not addition, is the better approach. One aspect of life building that is usually overlooked is that we're doing this assembling and building automatically, most of it below our level of awareness. And our consciousness is kind of like the hidden or invisible contractor and crew who are following every day, all day, the deepest beliefs and feelings that we have and largely ignoring the verbal wishes that we've expressed, and maybe even the whines we have emitted, coming from the mind or the ego. Imagine a child who has to hear his parent lecture him on what he should do and what he should not do, and then the child walks away and immediately goes off and does exactly what he wanted to do, as if he had never heard a word that was said to him. We're like that pretty frequently. Your consciousness has a gigantic inventory of energy patterns. Your beliefs, images you've received or created on your own, fears, superstitions, hopes, dreams, on and on, all geared to ensuring your survival, your comfort, and your convenience. And this is why habits overrule almost all attempts at achieving New Year's resolutions. Your habits were developed to enhance your survival, your comfort, and your convenience, if, even in reality, they are killing you. This is the place where we want to find the right button to push, the right switch to flip, in order to free us from the control of these harmful habits. What are the right buttons and switches? And what are the wrong buttons and switches? The ego has four primary buttons and switches, and they are naturally and easily activated, but to give the ego's sensitivities unfettered control is to invite disaster into our lives. To think only of ourselves and our needs and our wants will activate those low-level reactions in others. We will devolve into more primitive behaviors, and we will trigger other people into similar low-level behaviors. Beneath the surface, below the ego's urgings, is our connection to the divine that quietly calls out to us from our highest level behaviors and for our highest level behaviors. The permanent yet gentle connection to the divine keeps us alive. It allows our free will to choose to devolve into being less human or to choose to evolve into higher states of consciousness. The right buttons and switches are wired to love, generosity, kindness, peace, patience, joy, self-control, and more. That's how you can recognize the right buttons and the right switches. If you were to consider your thoughts, feelings, words, and actions on a spectrum I call the scale of effectiveness, you would instantly know how close to the right buttons and switches you really are. If you were to draw a horizontal line, labeled 0 on the left end and 100 on the right end and 50 at the midpoint, that represents the scale of effectiveness. It is better for us to evaluate our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions in terms of effectiveness rather than judge them right or wrong, good or bad, evil or not. I imagine that we will never reach 0, we'll never go down that far to be completely ineffective, nor will we reach 100, which is, to me, unbelievably effective. But instead, I'd suggest that we'll probably occupy the range from maybe 35 to 40 on up to 65 to 70, that kind of middle bracket in the scale of effectiveness. But our goal each time, every time we do something, is to be more effective than before. And when we realize that we're not being effective, that means we just became effective because we realized we weren't as effective as we wanted to be, and then we can immediately start to shift. So we're always in this, I'll say, fluidity of effectiveness, moving back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And if our intention is to move toward the right edge, right end of that spectrum, it becomes more of a game, less punitive, less self-critical, less self-destructive. Now, the ego would say, you're being effective if you meet the four driving needs that the ego expresses through the personality. And on the level of ego consciousness, this is true. But this approach, only thinking of yourself and no one else, no thing else, is going to create huge conflict and enmity with other people, who will then react egoically to you. And then the battleground that starts makes your thoughts, feelings, words, and actions less effective than you would necessarily want. Your body will be healthier if you are less stressed and more peaceful. Makes sense, right? That means stressed would be on the left side of that scale, and peaceful would be on the right side of the scale. That's not too complicated to get. Anger, that is part of the fight-flight syndrome, would be on the left side of the scale. Acceptance of what is would be on the right side. Unhappiness on the left side, joy on the right side, death on the left side, life on the right side, ignorance on the left side, awareness on the right side. Those distinctions should be clear example of how the scale of effectiveness can help you discover when you need to push the right button or flip the right switch. Shame, apathy, grief, fear, lust, anger, and pride all have their place in the scale of human emotions, but they are not good emotions to choose as lifestyles because they lead to illness and death. That makes them not lifestyles, but death styles. If you've ever seen small children enter the elevators and eagerly push buttons, you instantly know that humans like to push buttons to cause things to happen. People flipping open cigarette lighters absentmindedly show the same fascination with the motion and the sound and the effects of doing that. We're in a position to recognize that our conditions in life are the effects of causes. If we see the causes as buttons and switches that we unknowingly pushed and flipped, now we can change those mental behaviors. We can push and flip other things that will produce the desirable effects. If a light isn't on in our homes, we would activate it with a button or a switch. Likewise, if we aren't experiencing a higher emotional state, we can activate it. It may take a little bit of practice, but then doesn't everything take practice? We just need to seek to find the buttons and switches and not settle for the way things are in that moment. We don't need to curse the darkness. We can light the light. If we want to feel loved, all we have to do is to seek to feel love. There are buttons and switches. There are images in love that are accessible to us. We just have to decide to push or flip until we have successfully focused on those feelings of love. As it is with the buttons and switches, we take the action and give our energy first in order for this change of condition. The condition doesn't change and then we give our energy to it. We give our energy to it and then it changes. As it is with a light switch, we give the impetus and then the light results. We don't expect the light to go on first as we stand there before we flip the switch. And so it is with love and other experiences we desire. We give first and the results we want happen next. Push the right buttons, flip the right switches, and your life will change, and so will you. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. We have help finding the buttons and switches, and then pushing and flipping them. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. we know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.